is telling Timothy, Timothy, these guys are coming into the church and they're bringing in their false doctrines. It doesn't matter what you believe. You can eat, drink, party, fornicate. God will forgive you. He'll forgive you if you repent. If you don't repent, you'll go to hell. That's what the Bible teaches. Really important what the Bible says.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Roel Reese in Diamond Bar, California. Well, Roel is continuing our series in 2 Timothy, and it's great to have you along with us today. You know, as an end times believer living in a world full of false religious ideas and widespread opposition to the gospel, it would be easy to walk away from your faith. But today you'll be challenged to stand firm on the solid rock of Jesus, allowing Him to equip you with His truth and guide you in His ways. Let's listen as Roel Reese begins our study today, Timothy's Practical Appeal, Part 3. Join us in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19.
Paul the Apostle here in the second chapter of 2 Timothy spoke to us. And remember what he said? He said, study to show yourself a workman that needs not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. If we don't study God's word, if we don't take the time to really read and pray and seek the Lord, then what kind of a foundation are we really building in our own personal lives? On the book, he also says that one of the major problems in the 21st century today, that this is probably the Antichrist generation. Surely when we read the book of Revelation, we see that. There are going to be millions and millions of people that will receive the Antichrist. Why? Because all religions lead to God. We're all the same. Jesus is the only way, the only truth, the only life. There is no salvation in Buddha or Hindus or anybody else. It's only in Jesus, period. No matter what anybody else says. That's what the Bible teaches. There is no salvation in any other name, for there is no other name in heaven or under the earth. But Jesus Christ is the only name that can save. And it only comes through repentance. You see, there can really be a true faith without behavior changing. Jesus said if there's true faith, then what? Behavior changes. You're not the same person anymore. Jesus said, and Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man is in Christ Jesus, all things are passed away. Behold, all things become brand new. Brand new. You cannot be the person you used to be and continue to say that you're a Christian and yet do the things that you did before you knew Christ. That's not true. That's not what my Bible teaches. You see? And so Paul here now in chapter 2 in verse 19, remember he uses the illustration of the church as believers, as soldiers, athletes, and then farmers, and now he's going to use the workmen, and now he'll use us as the vessel, that we are the vessels of God. Look what he says beginning with verse 19 here. He says, nevertheless, in spite of that, literally, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are His, and let everyone who names the name of Christ, look at behavior, depart from sin. Interesting. Depart from sin. You cannot say you're a Christian and live in sin. There's no double standard in Christianity. You see, here he's talking, describing a great house, which is the professing church. We are the great house. And the foundation of the house is safe and secure because God seals on it. And what is the seal? The seal of the Holy Spirit. We've been branded. Those who are His are branded by the Holy Spirit. And if you don't have the brand of the Holy Spirit, you're none of His. You're not a Christian. Paul the Apostle, in talking of the seal, he's speaking of what? Literally of ownership. He becomes the owner of the house. We are the house of God, and now the Holy Spirit has come in and possessed my house. And if He's going to possess the house has to be clean. Cannot be dirty. In the book of Matthew chapter 7, in the Sermon on the Mount, turn there with me for a second. Matthew chapter 7. Because here in chapter 7 on the Sermon on the Mount, He's talking about two kinds of houses. In chapter 7, and go down to the end of verse 24. He says, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to be a wise man who built his house on the rock." He's saying those that really have a true foundation are those that listen. To who? To the word of God, to Jesus. They obey. But if you're not really obeying God's word, if you're really not doing what the word of God says, then you're building not on the rock. Watch what he says in the next verse. He says, "And the rains as descended and the floods came and the wind blew and beat on that house and it did not fall." Why? Because it was founded on the rock. When the trials of life come, temptations come, and all kinds of things happen in a Christian's life, a true child of God that has his foundation and security on the rock, Jesus Christ, what happens? The house doesn't move. It's a good foundation. You see? Praying, studying God's word, doing what's right before God. But if that person says, "Well, I'm a child of God and I love God and I'm a Christian," but he says, but he built his house on the sand, he says there's going to be an evidence that it's not true. Let's read it. Verse 26. "But everyone who hears these sayings of mine," so you can see here tonight and you can hear it, but if you don't do them, look what he says. "But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, he will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand." I mean, how much clearer do you want it? There it is. On the sand. What happens? Verse 27. "And when the rains descend and the floods come and the winds blow and they beat that house, it fell and great was its fall." It couldn't stand. You see? Only a real child of God stands because he's building on the foundation of the rock of Jesus Christ. That's what Paul says to Timothy here. "Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands." Why? Because we build on the rock and we have been sealed with the Holy Spirit. And now the seal of the Holy Spirit, the one that has sealed us and says, "He's mine. Raul Reese belongs to me, whatever your name is. I am his owner. I own him. I paid the price of redemption for him." That's so cool. Imagine the guarantee that I have and you have tonight because we have been sealed by the Holy Spirit. And then he says this, which is so incredible. He says, "In spite of this, that the solid foundation of God stands, having the seal," which is the Holy Spirit of ownership, "the Lord knows those who are His." You can't kid the Lord. The Lord knows who His sons and daughters are. You can say all you want, but if you don't belong to Him, one day He'll say to you what? "Depart from me, you evil servant of iniquity. I don't know you." You got to know Jesus. He's the foundation. He's the only bridge between God and man for salvation. He's the only mediator, you see, to be saved. And then he said this, "The Lord knows those who are His." And secondly, what? "Let everyone who names the name of Christ." You say, "I know Jesus." The devils know Jesus too. But if you go around and you're naming the name of Christ, then they shall know you. Jesus said what? By your fruits. By your fruit they shall know you. What does he say? If you really know Jesus, you're going to depart from sin. You're not going to live a life of sin anymore. Oh yeah, we trip and fall. We're not perfect. Not perfect at all. You see, we're not perfect at all. We all trip and fall. It's really important that we understand. But we don't continue in willful sin. And that's why Paul is telling Timothy, these guys are coming into the church and they're bringing in their false doctrines. It doesn't matter what you believe. You can eat, drink, party, fornicate. God will forgive you. He'll forgive you if you repent. If you don't repent, you'll go to hell. That's what the Bible teaches. Really important what the Bible says. Very important what Paul's teaching here.
You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Roel Rees. If you happen to be in the Diamond Bar, California area on March 14th, be sure and make plans to join Pastor Roel and other solid teachers at Calvary Chapel Golden Springs for a family conference titled Family God's Way. Whether you've been married for decades, newlyweds, or raising children of any age, this conference offers timeless biblical truths and real-life application to help your family thrive. To get more information, visit somebodylovesyou.com and click on the family conference graphic. Now back to more of our study of 2 Timothy.
Notice, secondly, in verse 20, he says, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, and some for honor and some for dishonor. Wow. I'm glad he brought that in. If you know anything about homes and if you know anything about vessels, what is he saying? In a house there are vessels that love God and those that do not love God. There are those that are true and those that are phony. You see? He makes a distinction after he gives us verse 19. He tells you. So there's no excuse. What kind of a vessel are you? I can't answer for you. You have to answer for yourself. Because if you walk into a house and you see vessels of clay, and notice, of wood and clay, those are not really valuable. But if you walk into a house where there's vessels of gold and silver, those are very valuable. Those have a price. And here Paul is telling Timothy again that these are the people that are faithful in the church, those that are vessels of gold and silver, but those of wood and clay, notice, some to honor and some for dishonor here. Paul now is encouraging Timothy to be associated with that which is real and that which is what? True. Discern. What's right, what's wrong, what's real, what's not real. Timothy, open your eyes. What kind of a vessel are you? One that is honoring God or one that is dishonoring God? You say, well, how do you dishonor God? By blowing your witness in front of non-believers. You dishonor God. That's why Paul the Apostle in Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2, he says, therefore I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your, notice, reasonable service to God. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You see? Which is God's perfect will for my life, that I please God. He goes on, chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians. Look at it. Verse 18. He says, flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside of the body. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. You see how clear that is? You're sinning against what? The house of God, your own body. Or don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? Notice what he says, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own. For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Underline that. You don't belong to yourself anymore. You are God's temple. You are God's property. You are God's ownership. That's what he said in verse 19. You see? Very important who we are. He goes on. He's going to really perfect us here, because he's really talking about this whole thing. There are those, like in the book of Matthew chapter 13. Remember in 13, and beginning with verse 29 through 30 and 36 to 43, where he talks about there's four types of hearers, where the seed is sown. He says the first people that get the word of God, they have no faith. The second ones are emotional hearers. The third ones, the cares of this life, man, they die and they go for the world. And the fourth one, he says, those are really where the word of God goes in and takes root and they water it. And 30, 60, 100-fold in fruit come forth. Those are the true children of God. Out of four types, only one is a true believer. The other ones are phonies. And then he gives us another parable, the parable of progressing. In Matthew, again, in chapter 13, 47 and 48, it talks about, again, those that are real and those that are not real. So I think the scripture is very clear to make sure that we understand the question, what kind of a vessel are you? Gold, silver, or wood, and what? And clay. You see? One to honor, one to dishonor. Very clear what Paul says to Timothy. And then check this out. Verse 21. Therefore, because of this, what I've been talking to you about, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, what is that? If anyone cleanses himself from sin, notice, he will be a vessel for honor. You see how clear that is? Sanctified, set apart. And what? And usable for the master and prepare for every good work. That's the real Christianity right there. That's real Christianity. You see? Those are the people God uses. Those who what? And they get rid of sin. And then they do what? They become vessels of honor. And they said they're what? God sets them apart to be used for his glory. Vessels of honor. And notice what he said, useful. The word that he uses here is interesting. He says useful means in your soul desire to be used by God. Or here, he uses the word again. Notice, useful for the master and prepare eagerly for every good work. Every good work. Why? Because you're aligned with the purpose and will of God, and you have submitted your will to the will of God. God can use you and you'll have fruit. Good works will come out of it. We're not saved by good works. We're saved by faith in Jesus Christ, period. But there are fruits that come out of a child of God. You see, he's bringing it all out. Then check this out. Verse 22. Flee. Keep running in the Greek. Keep running also from youthful lust. Young people, he's talking to you because Timothy was a young man in his 30s. Timothy, I know you're being tempted sexually. I know you're being tempted financially. I know you're being tempted in every way. Flee these things. Keep running if you want to be usable in the kingdom of God. If you want to be in ministry, if you want to be used of God, then you have to be a clean vessel. A clean vessel. You cannot be a dirty vessel. He goes on to say this, notice, giving good counsel to Timothy. Keep running. Why? Notice, also youthful lust. But pursue what? Righteousness, faithfulness, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure or clean heart. Notice what he says. Out of a pure heart. These are the kind of people you should hang out with. People that love God. People that want to serve God. People that fear God. People that truly, truly know the fear of the Lord. Notice what he says here. He's commanding. God wants us to have a clean heart. And look what he says. Now he uses the illustration of a servant. Verse 23 to 26, we'll conclude in a moment. He says, but avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife, false doctrines, debates, arguments, controversies. Stay away from those things. They're nothing but, you know what? They irritate you, they'll get you angry, and you can argue with people. If they don't want to hear, don't tell them. But if they want to hear, then tell them. But he says, stay away from these people that are always asking what? Rejecting the truth, refusing the truth. Get away from them. Don't even weep with them. Verse 24. He says, and a servant of the Lord, a doulos, must not quarrel. We must not quarrel. What does that mean? In the Greek, it means to fight and to wrestle, to be fighting against people. He says, a servant of God must not be a fighter, but gentle to all and able to teach and patient. Remember, he's talking to pastors and leaders. He must be skilled in teaching, skillful in teaching. And patient, bearing evil without resentment. Bearing evil without resentment. Gentle means to be kind and effective. And not being offensive, but fallible in demeanor, humble. You see? And then verse 25, in humility, correcting those or instructing those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth. You know, what is he saying now? He's saying that if you're going to be a pastor, teacher, or you're going to be a Christian, you need to know the Bible. To be able to refute these false doctrines. Because maybe as you're refuting these doctrines, they might get saved. They might repent. And surely we have seen people like that when the truth is presented to them. And you show them that they're wrong, but the Bible is right. We're not right. The Bible is right. You see? God's word. That's what he says to Timothy.
Well, staying consistent in your walk with the Lord isn't always easy, but as we've learned today, strength comes from regular time in the Word of God and personal communion with Jesus. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. If you'd like to review the lesson you've just heard, we'll send you an unedited version for a donation of $5 or more. Just call us at 800-634-9165 and ask for part 3 of Raul's message titled Timothy's Practical Appeal. To further support you in a life of faithfulness, we'd like to offer you Raul's entire 11-part study of 2 Timothy. It's available on both CD and flash drive. Written from a prison cell by the Apostle Paul, this letter will inspire you to glorify God in your words and actions, holding fast to Scripture as you follow a path of obedience. Visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165 to order Raul's 11-message 2 Timothy series. We'll send you the CD collection for $24 or the thumb drive for just $15. That's 800-634-9165. Or write to Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese is fully listener-supported. We're continually blessed by the tax-deductible gifts that enable us to keep sharing the gospel. Join us next time as we continue with more of our study of 2 Timothy with eye-opening insight into some of God's plans for the world's last days. He hasn't revealed everything about the future, but he has provided glimpses for those who trust his sovereignty and commit to his will. With a closing comment, here's Raul once again.
And then notice, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil. Who has people in false doctrine? The devil. You see? The devil takes him captive. Every one of those Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, Unity Church, Hindus, Buddhists, We're not talking against the people. We're talking against the false doctrine that has ensnared them. And who's behind that? The devil and his demons. Look what he says. And that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Boy, that makes me pray more for the Jehovah Witnesses and for the false doctrine teachers. The devil has a grip on their lives. They're not vessels of honor. They're vessels of dishonor unless they repent and get saved. They'll go to hell. That's what Paul tells Timothy. They'll go to hell. So important, this verse here. It teaches us that there are certain people that have been taken captive by the devil. That we can do what? We can pray to set them free by the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
I am falling in love with you.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.